Hi, and welcome to the Kelowna Girl Tries podcast. I'm Barb, and this is episode 122, Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. Hope you enjoy it. Hey everybody, it's Barb. I'm back. I'm going to keep my introduction pretty brief today because I have an extremely exciting guest interview that I have to share with you today, and it's a little bit on the long side, but I'm not going to cut 1 minute out of it. So I'll just say that I had a really successful half marathon in Victoria, whenever that was, a week or two ago, I guess a couple of weeks ago now. And I was kind of sick, I had a bit of a stomach bug in the middle of the week going up to the race, and then I was really tired and begged, and so I did nothing as usual the whole week before the race. Kind of was thinking Friday, geez, I don't even know if I'm going to run. But Saturday morning, I woke up feeling just about back to normal. We were heading to got in the car, drove to Victoria, and Sunday morning, I got up, I felt fine. So I went out and ran my heart out. It was a hilly course in Victoria, so I wasn't expecting to PR my best half marathon time, which is like 2:13 or something. But my time last time was 2:24, and I was just kind of hoping to be somewhere between, 2:15 and 2:30. I was figuring I'd probably be around 2:25 to 2:30. Eric was hoping to be sub 2, and he made it. So this was the first race he and I did together, and yet didn't run together. We did the San Francisco half marathon, and we ran side by side, he at my pace, obviously. And that was just totally for fun. But this was the first time we've ever started a race together, and it was kind of fun. Now, he went off in the sub 2 pace group, not even a pace group, but a corral at the beginning. 5,500 people in this half marathon race. It started at about 7:30 in the morning. The weather was kind of cool and clear, but I was wearing a long sleeve tech shirt and shorts and quite comfortable. And it got to be quite sunny and lovely and warm by the time we were coming in. And Eric did, I think, it was 1:56. So he was right at his goal time and really happy. I managed to negative split the race, and I ran the whole thing. I never stopped to take one single walk break, which blew me away. I really hadn't done a single long run that I hadn't taken multiple walk breaks. So I just kept trudging along and had my own handheld water bottle. I had my gel flask with gels, so I didn't need to stop at the aid stations. And it just wasn't, the temperatures weren't such that I felt like I needed to refill my bottle. I only had the one 20-ounce bottle, and that's all I drank for the whole race. I wasn't going too fast, but at the halfway point, I don't think I picked up the pace yet. Kept pretty steady pace right through, and then the last 5K, I thought, okay, I got 5K, and I did a little mental math and thought, geez, I'm so close to, you know, meeting my previous best time that I think maybe I should pick up the pace. So I started running. My goal was to run about a 6 minute kilometer. It's about a 10 minute mile for the last 5K. And I was able to actually, my fastest 5K were the last five. I ran two of them that were 5:30s, I think. So I was really, really, really happy. I came in at 2:14. So I was like about a minute slower than my best time ever, but I was 10 minutes faster than my last Victoria half marathon 2 years ago. Now, that's not that I'm just so much better runner now. Last time I had an IT band issue, so I was limping quite a bit. So, you know, I just didn't have an IT band issue this time. Felt great. Finished the race, went back, had a shower, and then met up with Carlos the Jackal and Mike, who is Surfer Racer on Twitter. I've known Mike for, years. I'm going to say at least 3 or 4 years on Facebook and Twitter, been, you know, quite chatty with him. So really was excited and happy to have met him. We had a great lunch. He brought his daughter in, and we all sat around and drank beer and had some lunch and got to know each other. So that was kind of cool. And then Eric and I spent the evening in Victoria and drove home the next day. So good times. Eric was real happy. So was I. So I have nothing else on the agenda. I'm just going to be working out and through the winter, keep my base up, keep my fitness level high. I'm trying to get back on the bike now, which means I'm on the trainer because it's too chilly and dark by the time I get home from work. That's okay. And I'm running 2 or 3 times a week. And I've had some good runs. My runs have been pretty speedy for me since the race. And everything seems to be good. So that's it. All right. So the interview is with Jake, previously the host of the Run Like Health podcast. I say previously because he doesn't do it anymore, but I'm still, I don't know, maybe we can kind of talk him into it. Maybe if we got enough emails, we could get him to do a show or two once in a while. He likes to do it either all or nothing, but anyways, Jake is, went through a really interesting 5 years where he made huge change in his lifestyle and fitness. We're going to talk about his training. We'll talk about his weight loss and we'll talk about his eating habits and his diet and veganism. And it's all kind of, I was interested in chatting with him about the changes that he made and, partly in relation to some of the attempts that I've made with vegetarianism. It was interesting to pick his brain a bit. So I'm sure you will be really happy to hear Jake's voice again. So I'm going to plug that audio in right now. And then at the end, I'll just say my goodbyes. And I've got another interview coming up probably in another week. I'm going to meet with Dustin. He's a local triathlete. I actually can't call him a triathlete yet because he's not yet, but he's a local runner and cyclist and swimmer who hasn't yet done a triathlon on his own. But looking forward to chatting with him. He's the fellow young guy who was hit by a car a couple years ago now and suffered through some pretty serious injuries and has managed to get back and is just doing some amazing stuff. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him. All right. I'm going to play the interview with Jake right now. Just a little warning that there's a little bit of staticky stuff with his microphone in the first 5 minutes off and on. Then we clear it up. We talk about it. We figure out what's causing it and it stops for the rest of it. So if you hear that for a bit, don't get too frustrated. It won't last long. Stick with us. All right. So here is the interview with Jake. So how are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. It's October. I'm always struggling at this time of year, to be honest.
It's nice though, isn't it?
Yeah. I just got back to work in September and so I finally got my act together, I think, and I'm sort of getting back at it. I always have terrible Septembers. No matter how hard I try, I struggle with it.
It's got to be hard though to have all that time off and
then go back to
be
work.
Be on again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, and then, you kind of, you work yourself up and my last race is right at the end of August. So I'm kind of, ready to go into a slump.
Right.
And then, so it just all falls apart. But anyways, I got so many things I want to ask you. I don't even think where to start, but first I want to ask you is you had an earthquake a little while ago tonight, didn't you?
That was crazy.
No kidding. I mean, I was just reading that just now on our local news. So what happened?
Yeah, my Facebook blew up right after it happened. And the funny thing is we don't get earthquakes usually, around here. So I was at work at the time and it was literally sounded like a freight train was rumbling right outside or something. And the building started to shake and I was like, what is going on?
No kidding.
but it was nothing major, it was just a little, I guess it was 4.9 on the Richter scale or something,
which is pretty decent.
It's a pretty good shaker,
But you don't get them a lot.
But it did originate in Maine, which is interesting. Probably about an hour from here, an hour and a half or so.
Oh, wow. Well, I was just flipping through a local news website just before I called you and then. And I saw Maine. It just jumped out at me, of course, just mostly because I was going to talk to you any minute. Wow. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, we have earthquakes in Zumba prostitution rings.
Zumba prostitution rings. So that sounds like it's got a story written all over
it. It's crazy in Maine right now.
Oh, God. So I got your, I read your race reports in the last show, and...
Yeah, that was really cool. I was so glad you did it.
Yeah, well, I was really, really appreciative that you sent it out. I know lots of people, including myself, sure wish you were podcasting, so...
I know.
To hear what you're up to, so I'm sure people will enjoy hearing your voice today.
That was one of those things that it was like, it became so difficult that it's very regular at doing it.
Yep.
And it was one of those things where I didn't want to just do one every couple months and then not. And then I wanted to do like once a week or kind of like nothing.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of like trying to start my new blog project and kind of get that off the ground and hopefully do that on a more like weekly basis, you know?
Yeah, blogging in that respect, blogging is a little bit simpler than podcasting. And I know I have gotten into some serious slackerness as far as podcasting is concerned because I used to do it so regularly. Once a week, it was just what I did every Sunday. But, you know, I'm sure people don't really care too much after they've been listening to me say everything that I've ever had to say has been said. So,
no, I think it's cool, though. I mean, I think it's you always bring a fresh perspective on, you know, training and triathlon and endurance sports. And because there's always different things to talk about, you know, and there's always new stuff coming out. And
I just feel like I mostly just talk about myself all the time and it's got to get boring. But, you know, I guess I'm always trying something new too. So I find that as long as I have something else to talk about, I'm trying this, I'm trying that.
Sure.
Kind of helps me out too.
So, and, you know, not that it was all that hard to do, you know, but, you know, I think Gordon kind of ran into this too, is when you start training with intent, like, and training hard, you know, and training to go fast, it's like, it's hard to record while you're training.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody wants to hear me anaerobic.
That's right. I never record when I'm training anymore. I try to record away from the office sometimes because it's nicer sounding, you know, like right. I'll just be in another room once in a while or, you know, at a social place. But yeah, the running and biking and training just doesn't really fly too much.
It's hard. Yeah. Definitely. So it would have been a little easier with Ironman training just because it's going to be a lot of long, slow stuff, you know. But
yeah, that's true. So are you hearing some feedback here or is it just me?
No, I hear you totally fine.
That's weird. I'm wondering if this was picking up all the recording. I don't know if it's my mic.
I've had trouble with my mic before.
I'm sitting here and I'm moving it around in different positions. I'm not sure if it's just the mic. So I'll try to find a good spot and then I won't move.
It could be the recorder.
Well, I'm dug right into my computer here, and I have a good mic on my computer. So, anyways, how are your legs right now, and how are you feeling after your race?
Oh, I feel totally awesome right now. I recovered super fast. Like I was, you know, in between the two races, by the time, you know, that Wednesday, Thursday kind of rolled along after the race, that first race, I was felt like I was ready to go again.
Oh, great.
And, you know, after that second race, you know, that was probably almost a month ago now. I feel great. And this is, I think, one of the reasons why I like this time of year is because after you do, like, a big key race or something like that, you've got all this fitness built up.
Yeah.
So it's like you can just go out and it's just, like, off-season base training and it's just, like, mellow and it feels good, you know, because you're fit enough to just go out and do it.
Yeah, totally, nice. Totally.
But no, I feel
enjoy that. Do you feel like you're ready for the next race right away?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. How about you? How are you doing after your half marathon?
I was able to run within a week. Like, I mean, within about 3 days, I went for a little run and I felt fine. I wasn't going super, super hard, so
yeah,
it's all good.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt again. Are you moving around or what are you doing there? What kind of phone are you on your cell phone?
I'm on my little microphone that's on my earbuds.
Okay, because it sounds like it's moving around. So, like, everyone tell you, you're perfectly and clear. Okay. And then, like, right now, it's perfect.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's perfect. And then every once in a while, it just, like, starts getting really staticky.
It's probably rustling on my collar.
Right. So, no moving.
Can you hear my hot water heater in the background?
Nope. But okay, whatever good. You just did now made a really loud rattle.
Okay. I'm not going to move.
All right, no moving. Okay. So, I totally want... I mean, I've got you on here because I want to talk about eating. But, you know, there are some people, believe it or not, who might not know who you are.
Sure.
Who might not know your story. And, you know, I don't even know if I really know that whole thing, like from back, you know, through the weight loss journey and all that. So I would love it if you would take a few minutes and, you know, just tell your story. Because, I mean, I've heard it when you know, I've watched your video clips and stuff on that.
Sure.
Where you're interviewed. And that would be cool. And it would give people a little bit of background to where we're going to go with it.
Absolutely. So, right, I'm 36 years old right now. And right about my 30 to 31 year old kind of birthday in around there, I weighed about 280 pounds and was terribly unhealthy, eating a very poor diet. And, you know, I had gotten all this like financial responsibility and, you know, with the kids and with the house and just everything. And I decided that it was probably time I, you know, got life insurance. And I thought it was something I should probably look into.
Yeah.
So of course I had to go do the physical exam to get that done. And, so they came here to the house for the physical exam, and like 2 weeks later, the results came back. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, we're happy to give you the insurance, but we have to put a rider on your policy. And I said, well, why is that? And they were like, well, because of your weight and your blood pressure and your cholesterol levels.
Wow.
I said, wow, okay, I'm 30, 31 years old here. And this is not a good sign to be having at this age.
A real wake up call.
Definitely. So, I did not get the insurance at the time, and I decided that I needed to, kind of whip myself into shape first. Mm-hmm. Part of doing that was going on a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing I did. And the other part of it was just getting my rear end off the couch and starting to get moving.
Right.
So I did that, and I had an elliptical machine in the basement. So I started doing 10 minutes on the elliptical machine.
Right.
That's all I could handle.
Well, and that's how we get started, right?
I was completely spent at the end. So, you know, 10 minutes turned into 15, turned into 20, and eventually I'd worked my way up to, I was doing an hour on the elliptical machine. Mm-hmm. So I did that for quite a while, and I ended up losing about 50 pounds, you know, just by doing that. And that was like over the course of the winter, I would say. So it got to be like springtime, and I said, you know, I've got to get out from the basement. I need to go outside. It looks really nice out, and I need to do something. So I was like, I'm just going to run. You know, running seems easy. It's going to be no big deal. I feel like I've got some cardio built up here from doing the elliptical machine. So I found an old pair of running shoes. I think they were running shoes that I had upstairs, and put them on and went out and ran one day. And I think I ran 1.2 miles for my first run. And I literally thought I was going to die that day.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't walk for like the next week. But I stuck to it, and I just kind of kept going with it. And eventually it got easier, and I got to the point where I could actually run and feel actually halfway decent doing it. You know, so, you know, I worked my way up to 2 to 3 miles, and I did my first 5K. which is exciting. And, you know, got up to 5 miles and then, you know, started getting up into these mileages. I was like, I never thought that I could run this far ever.
Yeah.
You know, then I remember the first day I ran 10 miles and I was like blown away. I was like, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would run 10 miles. So then I started to think, well, what else can I do that I never would have thought that I could do? And I think that's when the seed was planted for me to think about start running my first marathon. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I trained for it and ran my first marathon and had no, you know, looking back on it now, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how we start like that, right?
No clue. Yeah. In fact, I thought it would be an excellent idea since I trained to run like 10-30 miles. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be awesome if I started out at 9 minute miles. And right about the halfway mark, and it was an out and back course for my first one. And right about the halfway mark, I started falling apart, and it was a long slog back to the finish line.
Now, were you podcasting yet, or did I know you yet when you did that?
I'm
trying to think if I ever. I don't.
No, because you know when I started podcasting was like right before I went to Boston.
Okay.
And Boston was my second marathon.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, at that point, I had kind of figured it out a little bit. You know, my first marathon, I ran 20 minutes slower in the second half. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to Boston, which was only 6 months later, I think I ran a slight negative split there.
Awesome.
And it was the same time though, you know, like the same exact time as my first race, but I had just paced it out a lot better.
And you probably felt a lot better by the end of it too, right?
Oh yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. So then it just started taking off from there. And, you know, in the course of training for Boston, I decided that I would give triathlon a try. And, you know, a buddy of mine who was a pretty accomplished Ironman triathlete, you know, contacted me and said, you know, you really ought to consider not running so much.
Hmm.
You know, he said, if you really want to do this for a long time,
yeah,
you should really consider, you know, getting a bike and swimming and running and, you know, start getting into triathlon.
Yeah. A little cross training in there.
Yeah. So, you know, getting ready for Boston, part of my cross training was, you know, swimming and biking.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what propelled me into multi-sport. So yeah, you know, here I am. I'm, you know, three half Ironmans under my belt and,
After those first initial 50 pounds, the weight kept coming off, eh?
It did, yeah. I ended up losing about 120 pounds total.
That's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I think my lowest, I think I got down to about 155 as my lowest.
Right. Yeah, that's just amazing. And you've always managed to keep it down, right? I mean, you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I run about 160 to 165 now.
Yeah.
Just because I think I started putting on some muscle,
yep.
Which is good, you know. You know, I'm faster now at 165 than I was at 155. So
yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you got to find out. You just got to find the right balance too, right? And what you need.
Yeah,
and like you say,
absolutely.
Muscle's for sure gonna bump you up there a little bit, but it's pretty important. So, what helped motivate you through all of that? Because you know, one of the things that always impresses me about you is how. I don't know. You're just so dedicated and you seem so consistent where I always feel like I'm just, I don't know. I'm pretty even tempered, but boy, when it comes to my training, I'm really on waves. And even with, trying to eat healthy or trying to do this, I'm always like a roller coaster.
Right.
And yet you seem to be really consistent. And I wonder how you manage that.
I think what it is, and I can't really put my finger on when this happened for me. But I think at some point it just really became part of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is just part of my life. And it's like, this is just what I do. I get up and bring the kids to school and I'm either swimming, biking or running or doing all three.
Yeah.
And it's, and I don't want to say it's like I'm obsessive about it because I don't feel that I am. But you know, when I have scheduled off days, you know, I take the day off, you know, and rest.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I don't feel right if I'm not training for something, you know?
Yeah.
And even if I don't have anything on the calendar, it's like, I'm a triathlete. You know, this is just what I do now.
Yeah. So that's part of it too, then. It's not just, you don't need to have a race because you see yourself as a triathlete. That is your lifestyle, and you do triathlon whether you're racing or not, I guess.
Exactly. You know, and even, you know, even when it's hard, even when there's like, if I have a workout and it didn't go right, or first of all, I don't ever think of a workout as not going right. It's like, there's always something to be gained by something that you do in a workout. And what you perceive as not going right might actually be something that had to happen so you could learn from it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I never look at, if I go out and have like a run and just fall apart, it's like, okay, well, what happened? Yeah. What did I do before I went out? What did I do during it? And why did this happen? And then I just learned from it. So it's not a failure. It's right. It's more so a triumphant thing, because it's like I figured it out. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
You know.
You're just very. Do you find that overall you're pretty smart about your training? Because I don't see you doing things where you're constantly getting injured because you went out and did it too hard, or you can't control yourself. You just have to give her, and then you're always getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not like that, are you?
No. And part of that, I want to say a lot of that is coaching, because I've got a really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I was even like that before, you know, I hired Doug.
You're self-disciplined. You know,
I understood the concept of going hard when you are supposed to go hard and going easy when you're supposed to go easy. And I think really early in my, you know, I want to call it a career as a endurance athlete, I figured out that recovery portion was actually probably the most important part.
Yeah. True.
And that if you don't get the right amount of rest, you're just going to get injured, and then you can't go out and do it. And then that would be devastating. So,
Training smart, you really enjoy your races a lot more, I think.
Totally.
As opposed to going in and you're not prepared, and you, like, gosh, when I've gone and done races like that and I know I'm not really as prepared as I should be, I hurt too much, and it's just so not fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, the weird thing is now is like, I don't even get nervous at races anymore, because it's like, I know that I just have faith in my training. And you know, I went and I did the workouts, and I'm here to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
You know.
And you have just done so well. I mean, your achievements, I think, in triathlon are just amazing. I mean, you've got two half irons that were a couple weeks apart, where you're like 5 hours-ish, right?
Yeah.
And now you're going to be training for an Ironman. I have no doubt you are going to kill that thing. Like, your first one, you're not going to be struggling in at midnight. And it's really exciting. You know, it is.
I can't wait. Yeah. I think that the two half irons really did a lot to show me what's possible,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what I can kind of expect out of myself.
Yeah.
And especially having them back to back like that, you know, that was kind of done by design, to see what it was I could actually handle both physically and mentally.
Yeah.
You know, could I go out and do, you know, close to a 5-hour half iron and then turn around and do it again?
Exactly.
And have the mental wherewithal to go back in there and do that again.
Yeah.
And that kind of showed me a lot about whether or not I was ready to take that next step or not. But it didn't matter, because I'd already signed up at that point anyway. So,
Yeah, but you know, you've taken all the logical steps. I mean, I know lots of people love to just go out and, hey, I think I'm going to do an Ironman, and they just sign up and they go straight into an Ironman, never having done any. And maybe on the way there, they'll do some smaller races, which makes sense to me. But sometimes people just go out and never do a shorter race. Their very first triathlon's an Ironman.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, that's, you know, that's got its own, you know, and some people do amazingly well with that as well. But I always appreciate the kind of training that somebody like you has done, who just, you know, you're just tuning it and you're tuning it. You've worked every bit of it and you really know. And you know, when you go out there, you are going to do an amazing race.
Oh, man. You see, the thing is, I just love that stuff, though. You know, just like,
yeah,
I love coming in from a workout and getting the data in the computer and just look, you know,
figuring it all out, analyzing the data, figuring out what you did well. And yeah, did it work the way I was hoping it was going to work?
And it's, I don't know. It's just the way I approach it, I think. And it, not that it's right or wrong, because it's not, it's just the way I do it. Yeah. But you know, I see people that, like you said, will sign up and do a full Ironman for their first race. Yeah. And it's kind of like a bucket list thing.
Yes.
And it may be like a one and done thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if that's the way they want to do it and that works for them, then I think that's awesome.
Yep.
But there's no better way to get, you know, motivation and self-confidence than to sign up for something like that, have the guts to stand on the starting line and do it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
But I like to go in and I like to perform, you know, that's just the way I feel.
See what the best you can do.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, hey, I think maybe I'll just go pro at some point.
I know.
Anybody who's way better than me, I always figure they should be going pro. That's my first.
No, I don't think, unfortunately, I think I started too late.
Yeah, you're too old now. Isn't that sad?
And I'm not a good enough swimmer. So, but although at the iron distance, I don't know how much that matters a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know at that point too. I mean, you can't be a crappy swimmer in a pro.
Right.
But yeah.
Cause I had two crappy swims at my last two races.
Yeah, well, your crappy swims are my awesome swims.
I don't know.
Seriously. Okay. So when you talked about 5 years ago, I think it was 5 years ago when you sort of first started all this, and you jumped on the elliptical, you did the 10 minutes thing, and you went to a plant-based diet. So at that point, what made you decide right then and there you were going to go plant-based? Were you playing around with that before? Had you been vegetarian or like?
Yeah.
What
I mean,
led to that decision then?
My wife and I had kind of toyed around and dabbled with being vegetarian a little bit, you know, before that. And I think that, you know, seeing my cholesterol numbers and was probably what really made me dive into that end of the pool. You know, no pun intended.
had your doctor recommended vegetarianism as or vegan as a good way of dealing with your high blood pressure?
No. I mean, the only thing he told me was to get my carbohydrates from fruit and vegetables.
Right.
That's the only thing he told me.
Right.
And the cool part is that I have had the same doctor throughout the whole process. So, you know, he has seen me at 280.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a triathlete.
Yeah. It just must boggle his mind, eh?
So, yeah, we get to the point now where I have my physical, my yearly physical, and we end up just talking about races for an hour. You know?
Yeah, I love that.
So, you know, he was concerned. And, you know, I told him what I was doing. And the weird part was he didn't even consider that as an option. And I was like, well, have you ever read the China study? And he said, no, I've never read the China study. I was like, how have you not read the China study? I was like, how are you a doctor and have not read this? So I turned him onto that and he read it and he found it pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked. And, mm-hmm. you know, I lowered my cholesterol by over 100 points, you know, by doing that. So,
yeah. And so you went to a vegan diet and you've been so disciplined about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm trying to think of the word that I want, you know, it's like honorable or whatever. You just like, you really went with it wholeheartedly. And I remember the day when you decided you were going to stop making fly rods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, it just kind of went against what you really were trying to accomplish and what you really believed in. And I really respected that. And I thought it must have been a really difficult decision for mm-hmm. you. And I felt a little bit sad. And at the same time, I thought, well, you know, it just shows his commitment to what he's, the decision he's made.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a hard decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it's worked for you really well for a long time. And we've seen a lot of, you know, we all know lots of amazing athletes who are vegan
mm-hmm.
and who, you know, who just, it's working for so well. And so why don't we talk a little bit, or you talk a little bit about, you know, what your recent decision is, and how you came about that.
Sure. So basically what happened was, I think my physical, I don't know if it was the last year, maybe it might've been the year before, I had, you know, given a urine sample, and the sample came back with protein in it. And that, my doctor was a little bit worried about it. He said, you know, this can happen, especially to endurance athletes, because you go out and, you know, smash yourself for a couple hours a day, and the muscle tissue you break down, you know, some of it can end up in your urine, and it just, that's why it's like that.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, that's fine. He said, it's probably nothing. It's probably just something, an anomaly, you know? So he's like, we'll just check it out again in like 6 months. So I said, that's fine. So, I went back in and they rechecked it, and it was still elevated. Mm. And I had also started noticing things about the way I felt when I was training.
Right.
Wasn't recovering quite as quick. And was losing some weight while I was training, which doesn't typically happen.
Yeah.
And you know, despite the fact that I was eating, you know, eating really well.
Yeah.
And my power was decreasing quite a bit. So, you know, we basically determined that I wasn't really synthesizing the plant-based protein anymore. My, you know, my body had just stopped doing it. And what was happening was I was basically cannibalizing myself.
Yeah.
You know, my body was basically just saying, okay, I'm getting protein that I can use, and it's coming from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's where it is in your muscles then. At
right.
That point.
So, you know, I basically started doing some research, and, you know, started researching the paleo diet quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, after a lot of soul searching, I think yeah. is a good word to put it, mm-hmm. Decided to give it a try. And it was a hard decision for me because it was something, you know, animal rights had become just as much or just as important to me as being healthy.
Yes.
You know, and I really felt like somewhat of a hypocrite when I made the decision to give it a try. And I had to do a lot of figuring things out to get right with that in my head.
Yeah.
You know, after I had decided that, okay. And I went back and forth on it. And, you know, meanwhile, I'm, you know, I don't want to say I'm falling apart, but, you know, things aren't going well. You know, I don't feel the way that I used to feel and the way that I should feel.
Was grains an issue as well then?
Yeah.
Having issues with eating grain?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And, excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold.
Yeah, that's okay.
So, yeah, we kind of determined that I could possibly be having, you know, some negative effects with the grains that I was eating.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you can do a test for celiac. And I was like, well, what's that going to tell me, though? All that's going to tell me is that I either am or am not sensitive to gluten. So I could probably just forego the whole test and just stop eating gluten and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, after going back and forth on it for a while, I decided to give it a try.
Right.
And I would say about 1 month after going, you know, full on paleo, all of a sudden my heart rates while I was training plummeted, and I was basically operating at the same level that I was operating before, but at a much lower effort level.
Interesting.
So I was having higher outputs at lower effort level.
Yeah.
So, basically what I think would happen was I started putting muscle on.
Yeah.
And I just started generating more power.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, more importantly than that, I started feeling better. And started recovering faster.
And I mean, ultimately, when you first started this entire thing 5 years ago, it wasn't about being vegan. It wasn't about anything. It was about being healthy.
That's right.
And figuring out what you needed to do to make your body healthy and strong and fit. And you know, I mean, does it matter what kind of diet you follow so long as you're doing one that works for your own body?
Right.
There's certainly ways, lots of ways to sort of work through the I don't know, the animal rights issues as well. Just in that it's sort of the whole, I don't know, I guess to me, see, I've never been as wholeheartedly feeling about it as you do, but I'm thinking, you know, just the factory farming and that kind of thing, which is really turns me off, but of finding, you know, good sources of meat, the things that are done humanely, you know, fair farming practices and grass-fed beef and things like that, where you can find food that's been treated properly. And I think for me, that's not a big issue then when it's, you know,
one of the big things I learned throughout this whole process was that there are not too many things in life that are black and white issues.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, for example, I still feel, I mean, 110% against factory farming. And, you know, I still have a lot of those feelings about the way I feel for animals and animal rights. So that was the kind of conflict that I had to figure out.
Yeah.
And deal with, as it, you know, in the course of making this decision.
So that's taken you, how long has this been since you've been off being or not being a vegan?
I would say 6 months.
Okay, so you've taken some time, you've worked through it, you've seen if it works for you, and you finally decided to out yourself, I guess, as you
can
in your blog post.
That was the other thing that, you know, because I hadn't told anybody, and there were a couple of reasons for that. One was I wasn't even sure it was going to work.
That's right.
You know, and I felt like, you know, this is something I kind of just want to deal with on my own, you know, and, I was afraid of the scrutiny that I would get, you know, from the outside, I think.
That's the downside of being in the social media limelight.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything you decide and everything you say and do is scrutinized.
Yeah. And then, you know, after I figured out that it was working and I felt better and I was performing better, I kind of felt like I had to say something.
Yeah, eventually, I guess,
just because I didn't want to feel like I was misleading anybody.
Yeah, you know, fair enough.
Because I had put myself out there, you know, so hardcore.
Yeah.
With you know, being plant based.
Yeah. That I was surprised. I was surprised. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know what you've seen from your side of it, but everything that I've seen has been really supportive. Everybody you know that I've seen, I haven't seen any negative comments about it.
Absolutely.
Everybody
yeah.
Everybody is very respectful of what decisions you've made.
Everybody's been great. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had no reason to think that anybody wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, because these people are all my friends. And
that's right.
You know, I would never think anything different about somebody because it was what they ate.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not me. And, you know, there was no reason for me to think that anybody else would feel the same way about me.
That's true. That's
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that was something I had to kind of get up the courage and realize.
Yeah.
You know, in the process.
Well, that's interesting. And so one of the questions I was wondering is, okay, so I was playing around in September because I'm always dabbling in different things because I... Mm-hmm. And so I went, like, for the whole month of September, I ate as a vegetarian. I really don't think I could do vegan. I mean, I just don't. There's too many things I want to eat that I don't want to feel like I'm depriving myself. But I was shocked and amazed to find that when I ate as a vegetarian, and maybe because it was only 1 month, I never once missed eating meat. Which mm-hmm. I thought for sure that I would find it. That I was missing out.
Missing out on something.
I thought it would be difficult. I know if I went and tried to eat as a vegan, I would be feeling and missing it out because I eat yogurt every day. I eat cottage cheese all the time. I eat mm-hmm. eggs, you know, and those kinds of things. That's a big part of my diet, but the meat I can live without. Ugh. And so ultimately what I decided to do after about 6 weeks is I decided that I was going to really eat like heavily vegetarian, but not completely. And
right.
That when I eat meat, I'm going to make sure, like, I'm not just going to eat hamburger all the time, you know?
Right.
I am going to eat a good steak once in a while. I'm going to eat, you know, oh, we're having turkey dinner for Thanksgiving in 2 weeks, you know? Things mm-hmm. like that. And maybe once a week or maybe less. I don't know. Just whatever happens to be. And try to make sure that the meat I'm eating is, you know, humanely treated and healthy for me and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just where I'm at right now about it. And I just, you know, you have to try and find what works for you and what is manageable. And also with your whole lifestyle, with your family, your kids. And
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing I found for myself. It was trying to figure out. So I was wondering, did you think about just going from vegan to vegetarian and start getting in different forms of protein like eggs and cheese and milk and stuff like that? Did you ever think about that, or did you say no, it's really you need to get right into the meat part?
I felt like I had to cut it off
yeah.
and start fresh completely one day.
Yeah.
That's basically what I did.
Yeah.
I remember the morning, excuse me, that I decided to make the change. I came down the stairs and made myself an omelet. And my yeah. wife looked at me like I was nuts.
What are you doing?
Because I hadn't really communicated with her all that much about it. I shouldn't say, we talked about it quite a bit, but I hadn't really communicated with her that, okay, this is the day that. This is
yeah.
D-Day.
This is
when it's going down, you know? And she's like, are you okay? I said, I'll be fine. I said, I used to do this all the time. I remember. I just I kind of just made the switch.
So refresh my memory. How did the rest of your family eat? Were they, your wife and two kids, were they eating vegan or were they... eating meat all this time?
No, they had. I mean, Natalie was vegan for quite a while. You know, totally. Yeah. You know, when I had made the switch. But she had gone back, you know, a few years ago to, you know, incorporating some more animal products in her diet.
Yeah.
You know, along with the kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was the only one in the house for a while.
Okay.
You know, a few years.
That makes it a little bit easier because then you're not trying to.
It's hard. I find the hardest part is when everybody in the household is everyone's eating different diets. It's,
yeah,
it's difficult.
It is difficult.
It's a lot
more
work, you know.
Yeah.
And I tend to make different things for Eric and Jesse are eating one thing and I'm having something else.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. And we all sit down. It's all good. But yeah,
it wasn't quite as difficult for me because I think mostly because of the shift that I work. Mm-hmm. I was never home for dinner. So, you know, I was kind of like doing my own thing anyway.
Right.
So that kind of made it a little bit easier. But yeah, I could definitely see where if you, you know, live in a house where everybody sits down at the same time to eat and, you know, you've got like three different, you know, menus going on.
Yep.
That's challenging. Yeah.
That's right. All I need is for Eric to go paleo and Jesse's eating teenager, whatever, and eating vegetarian. That would be just.
Exactly.
But anyways, yeah. I do the cooking, so that makes it work out. So I managed to find ways. Like tonight, they wanted hamburger meat cooked up in a certain way, and I said, okay, I'll make that for you, and I'll make myself a veggie burger, and you know, it's. But I'm still going to, you know, be pretty eclectic with what I do.
You know,
there's too many good things out there to eat.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, out of all of the research that I've done on different diets and different dietary theories, you know, and after going to school last year, you know, the recurring theme with everything was it really isn't the meat per se that is killing people. It's the sugar that's doing it. Because if you look at, you know, the typical American diet and what people eat, and they eat a lot of processed foods, and a lot of bread and a lot of pasta.
Yep.
And when I say sugar, what I should really say is people, it's the high glycemic diet that's killing
people.
Yes,
the high glycemic stuff. Because
when you say sugar, people think, well, I don't put sugar in everything I eat, so it's fine.
Yeah, but it's the white flour and all those things that turn into that starch.
Exactly. It all has the same effect on your blood sugar. Yeah. And, you know, and that's really what's causing people the most problems.
Yes, I agree with that too.
You know, if people could eliminate that as those kind of foods from their diet, there would be a lot less problems, I think, as far as health goes. You know, but when you look at prepackaged foods, you know, 95% of it has sugar in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and so many different forms, hey?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you, though, there's always new research coming out and always new information, and it just is so confusing, really.
It is, yeah.
But I liked one thing. I think it was Michael Pollan or something. He said, or somebody said, you know, just eat healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
Just eat real food, pure food, like fresh, natural food, whether it's meat or vegetables or fruit or whatever. And don't, you know, just we got away from all the packaged stuff.
Yeah.
That's half the battle. But,
half the battle. You're exactly right. You know, getting people to eat a whole foods diet.
Yes.
You know, whether that includes bread or, you know, whatever or not is really would be a step in the right direction.
I tend to think that the bread issue, I think you're probably right about it. Am I able to cut bread out my diet completely? I don't think so. But I find I do feel better if I cut back on it, if I eat less. I tend to not eat any bread at all. But then when I'm having a steak, I want my baguette, man, you know. Or once in a while, there's something and where, you know, I want that. And so I try to stick to the times when it's really a special time.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just eating it every day. I don't eat toast for breakfast anymore. You know, things like that. I got out of my routines. But, you know, I still put sugar in my coffee.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't drink 8 cups of coffee a day. I have 1 cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so, you know, you have to try and find the balance so that you're not doing too far in any direction, I guess.
You know, when I have my coffee in the morning, I started putting pasture-raised half and half in it.
Okay, there you go.
And it's basically milk from cows that are pasture-fed, you know, grass-fed.
Yep.
Yep. And my rationale behind that is that this is something that's not processed. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I go get soy milk, excuse me, or almond milk and put it in, if you look at the back of the soy milk, it's, first of all, it's got 50 ingredients in it and it's got sugar in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got added sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And same with the almond milk. You know, you can get almond milk unsweetened, but it's still got a whole bunch of crap in it. Yeah. So, you know, my rationale is, okay, you know, this is not part of the paleo diet, but I'm having like a tablespoon of it.
Yeah.
In my coffee just to color it.
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know, the joy of the coffee is like, there's certain parts that are just sort of, I don't know, they're cultural or something or whatever. Yeah. I mean, they just what make life enjoyable. So right. Sometimes some of those things you got to stick with. You just got to stop the excess.
Right. And you're exactly right. Your life has to be manageable and enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you cannot live your life thinking, I have to do this. I have to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, when I was eating a vegan diet, I never felt like that. You know, I never felt like, oh, my God, I can't have this or I have to eat this. Yeah, you know, I never felt that way.
No, and you showed that because you really, I don't know, I can't think of that word. I'm still looking for that word. You just believe in what your commitment to it, I guess. It's just that you're so committed to what you are doing.
And
See, that's the same thing with your training. It's the same thing. It's really something that it's who you are, I guess. You're very self-disciplined. And if you're committed to something and you believe in it and you don't feel like you're missing out on something.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing with training too. It's like, I never feel like I need somebody to push me.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the first conversations that my coach and I had. I said, you know, yeah. I don't need somebody behind me telling me to do this, or I don't need a cheering section, you know, to get out the door. I said, I am completely self-motivated to go out and do what I need to do. So, you know, that will never be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I mean, you know, like I trained for that first half Ironman by myself without a coach.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it just becomes that, you know, intense focus, you know, and the end goal, you know, it just gets you out the door.
Yeah, I'm too much of a control freak to have a coach, mostly.
You think so?
Yeah, I am. I always feel like I know better what to do than any coach is going to tell me. I know, I'm not saying that's a good way to think, but I know my body, I know what I need.
Yeah.
I know how I feel, and I'm always logical about what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right? I always think about it. I don't do things if I think, oh, you know, I don't rarely need anybody to push me.
I
just go on Twitter and tell somebody I don't feel like running, and then 25 people tell me to go run, and so I do.
Get your ass out the door.
That's right.
You know, the main reason I hired my coach was to improve my cycling.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what to do on the bike.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm going to go out and ride my bike and I don't know if this is going to help me or not.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go do it. Yeah. You know, and I took 20 minutes off my bike split.
That's great.
You know, from last year's Pumpkin Man to this year.
Yeah.
So that was huge. So he really, you know, really got me in good cycling form, you know, kind of helps everything.
Having a coach who knows what they're doing, they can see things that you can't see. I'm being kind of silly and facetious when I'm doing that, but
I mean, that was the big thing too. It was like, I had felt like I had reached a point where it's like, I don't know how to time this out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know when to do a hard workout and when to not do a hard workout. And
yeah.
You know, he knows all that stuff. So he, you know, he does my periodization and everything, and I don't even need to think about it.
Yeah, that's right.
So
you have registered for Ironman. Which one is it again?
Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, and when is that?
It is July 28th.
Next July.
Okay. Next July, yeah.
So have you kind of started training for that yet, or not till January, or what? Actually putting together your actual training?
I mean, we're definitely training with that intent in mind. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely in just off season, kind of base training mode right now.
Yeah.
He's got me doing just, easy stuff. I did a quality bike on the trainer the other day. And, mm-hmm.
And when you're in your peak weeks of, the highest amount of training weeks, say for the half iron, how many hours a week would you train on your highest week?
I think my peak week for half was 14.
14 hours?
14 hours, I think, yeah.
And then on a off season, how many hours a week are you training?
Right now, I'm in that kind of 7 to 9 range.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just trying to get a feel for you. So do you think you'll be putting a lot more hours in when you're Ironman training, or like maybe near the, say, the 3-quarter mark? Or
yeah, I think that, his feeling was that on average, 10 hours a week is right in the kind of like the sweet spot for Ironman training.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those weeks that are going to be 15, 16, 17 hours.
Yeah, because of the long biking you got to do, I guess.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you're in that kind of 10 to 12 hour range, and then, there are, blocks of weeks where you're going to get up into that upper, category. And like I said, I was training consistently 12 to 13 hours a week, all summer, basically. So for me to step into that next kind of level up, I didn't feel like it was that much of a reach.
Yep, I think it's very doable for you. It's
going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
I'm really excited. And the ultimate goal is to go to Kona.
Yeah.
Whether I can actually afford to do that or not.
Yeah.
If I do actually get in at some point.
And so what do you have to do at Lake Placid? Like, how high up do you have to, be in top 10 of your age group or what?
Yeah. It all depends on how many people are there and how many people are in your age group.
Okay. So is it a percentage of the age group, or it's not just a set number?
Well, I'm pretty sure this is how they do it. Each race they allocate X amount of Kona slots to,
uh-huh.
For the entire race. Right. And what they do is they take, each age group, they take the amount of people that are in that age group and what the percentage is of that number to the overall number of participants in the whole race.
Right.
And then they take that percentage is the percentage of Kona slots you get out of that bundle that's allocated to that race.
All right. And you're in a pretty competitive age group.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's too bad you're not my age. You'd be in it like stink.
It's yeah.
That's challenging. So
yeah, it's going to take a few years, but I'll get there.
You will. I'm sure you will. And maybe just finding the right race. Hey,
I think, that's a big part of it actually. Yeah.
And so what about, Challenge Penticton 2014?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm seriously thinking about it.
Uh-huh. I mean, it doesn't get you into Kona though, right?
No, but that's all right. I mean, getting another Ironman under your belt is, huge.
It's like a classic. It's like one of the oldest, second to Kona, one of the oldest Ironman courses in the world.
I think it is the oldest one, isn't it?
It was the 30th year this year. I think Kona was the year before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, other than Kona, I think it is
oldest. Yes, other than Kona. And
and Lake Placid is right up there too.
I think it's the only other than Kona single loop bike. And I'm not sure about single loop run. It has a single loop run, of course, but I don't know if it's the only one or not.
Yeah.
But I think it's the only single loop bike course out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be a really popular race, no matter who does it.
I agree. I don't think it's going to hurt it. I think the fun thing about next year is with it being a challenge that it might be something that you don't have to register. Like, well, you might be able to register like really late.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not going to be totally full. So,
you know, I went and looked up the prices and they're, you know, comparable to, you know, Ironman.
The other fun thing is that they're going to allow relay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is interesting.
I know. I thought, geez, you know, maybe I could just, I don't know, maybe I could get a team together and actually do part of it. That'd be kind of fun.
And train to do the century. And
yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'd do the marathon. Eric can do the bike and I don't know.
Sure.
I need someone to swim.
Somebody to swim. But yeah, I think I was really excited to hear that they had bought that race out.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, it looked like it was going to go away.
And yeah. Well, they were really wondering. There was lots of questions because, you know, they were trying to contact the WTC, TC, and what's his name? The guy who kind of owned the rights to it. I think his last name's Graham. I keep checking that up. But anyways, he, you know, they fired him. And so then they had nobody to connect with.
Right.
The WTC had fired him. So it's like, whoa. And then I think they're kind of sorry that they didn't contact Penticton, didn't return Penticton's calls when they were calling.
Yeah, right.
They just thought they had that in the bag. I'm still peeved, though, that they stuck their race in the same date for this.
That is kind of lame, isn't it?
Yeah. But I've heard through the grapevine, I don't know if it's true. It could be just a total false rumor. But I heard that they were maybe changing Whistler to a July race in 2014.
Okay.
And part of the reason is because Whistler is way up in the mountains. I mean, that's a ski mountain, right? It's
like
one of the biggest ski mountains in, well, it is the biggest ski place in Western Canada, I think. And so it's cold in the end of August. You know, it's cold and wet up there.
It's I mean, that's
the West
when,
Coast.
Isn't that right when Mont Tremblant is too?
No. Mont Tremblant is...
Because this year was the end of August.
No, I don't think so. Because there's another race. Louisville is same day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tremblant is in July, I think.
Is it the end of July? It must be the end of July.
I honestly don't know. I know it's on another day, though. Anyways, it's not close to other Ironman, to the Ironman Canada date. But anyways, moving it to July would be good for both races because it would, you know, some racers might do both and, you know, that's always a good thing for both sides. And it would also, it'd be a better race in July up in Whistler than it would be in end of August, just for weather's sake. I mean, you could get nice weather, but you just don't know. It's pretty risky to, it could be just a cold, rainy day the whole day. That would suck after everybody.
That would be horrible.
You know, when you come to the Penticton, it's almost always, you know, hot and sunny. It's almost always an 80 to 90 degree day by the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's been years when it's been cooler and stuff, but August is nice and sunny in Penticton, but not. Hey, and that whole thing put Kelowna on the map, hey, don't you think?
Yeah, big time, yeah.
Yeah, everybody suddenly goes, ooh, Kelowna, I've heard that before.
Mont Tremblant is Sunday, August 18th.
Oh, really? Just a week before?
So it's a week before.
Has it always been?
Well, last year was the first year.
So it was the same date last year, the same weekend last year.
Same weekend, yeah.
That's the same weekend as the Apple.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I never pay too much attention because I'm always racing that weekend.
Triathlon is blowing up.
Yeah.
Something going on every weekend.
Well, and you know, we have tons of races in our area. We have two serious half irons and the Apple, which is huge. Like it's Canadian. It's been Canadian championships for 5 years. We didn't have Canadian championships this year, but it still had like 1,000 racers.
Yeah.
And two big half irons and then tons of sprints and Olympic races.
Yeah.
You could race just about every weekend in the Okanagan Valley between Vernon and all the way down to Soyuz.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... It'd be hard to find a different weekend in the Okanagan to move that race to anyways.
Definitely, yeah. You know what I was really impressed with was Rev3's race.
And I don't know much about Rev3. Which one are you talking about?
The one my first 70.3 this year was Rev3 in Maine. and it was the first, you know, inaugural event, you know, for that race.
Right.
And I thought they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. So they're just another brand, right?
Yep.
And do they, what distances do they do?
They do Olympic in 70.3 mostly. Okay. And they do have one full, 140.6.
And so what do they call it? Do they call it a 70.3 or do they call it a...
They call it a half rev and a full rev and an Olympic rev.
Okay.
Yep.
It's all about the language. Now
it
we
is,
can't call Penticton Ironman. We have to call it Iron Distance.
Challenge Penticton.
Challenge family. So a lot of people who know nothing about triathlon were all thinking, oh, it's a family race. So that means, you know, you can, your kids can do it. And
sure.
Like, no, Challenge Family is just the brand name. Sorry.
That sounds like fun.
Anyways. Well, that's good. I'll be looking forward to watching your training over the next while and watching you ramp up for this Ironman. It's going to be pretty exciting. Do you have any races like coming up immediately? Any little running races or anything?
Nothing. Nope.
No.
The schedule's good. Clean.
No plans for Boston or anything?
Nope. There's a training camp I'd like to go to in June in Lake Placid next year. And I can't decide whether I'm going to do that or do a half iron tune-up in the spring.
Yeah. So the training camp would allow you to ride the course and run the course, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah. It'd be training on the course.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
And, you know, there's travel involved in both scenarios. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a half iron that's close to me. You know, that I can just go do.
Okay.
I'd have to travel. I'd probably do Kwasi, which is another Rev 3 half, mm-hmm. which is in Connecticut, and that's about 8 hours away.
Okay.
I think. Something like that. It's a pretty good distance away. Yeah.
It's obviously not get up in the morning and get
that's
to the
right.
Race.
Yeah.
You've got to stay overnight. So that's the key, right?
So I think I'm going to have to decide between those two things. And right now I'm leaning toward the training camp, I think.
Yeah, there's something to be said for doing a training camp, especially on the course.
Yeah, and you know,
it's a good camp.
It's only like it's like a 3-day weekend. You know, you do Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
yeah.
You know, so it's not like a, you know, full week camp or anything.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to get on the course.
Yeah. Is that going to be the only chance you'll have to ride the course?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how far. I'm going to show my ignorance here, but I don't even know where Lake Placid is. Where is it?
Lake Placid is in the, you know, upper section of New York, like up near, you know, Vermont and
New York,
Canada.
State. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 8 hours from where I live.
Okay. 8 hours. All right. That's like driving to Calgary for me or something.
A little bit of a hike. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm excited to see what I can do. You know, we haven't really sat down and discussed, you know, what the goal is going to be, as far as, you know, training for pacing, you know, goes.
Yep. Well, that'll all come together as you go. You'll start to see how you're doing and you'll start to figure it out. And everyone always has A, B, and C goals for Ironman anyways, right?
You know, I know I want to run well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would love to run like 3:30 over there.
Wow.
You know, which is my marathon PR is 3:33.
Yeah.
I'd
love to run 4:30 without any bike before it.
But you know, the
3:30,
I think I'm a lot more fit right now than I was when I ran that marathon PR. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Youth. You're so lucky. Enjoy. Yeah. And you know what? It's not just your age either, though.
I'm getting old, though.
You're super dedicated, and you work so hard at it. You've got such a damn good attitude.
I just love it.
Yeah.
I know. It's good. I'm always happy.
I know, but you know, everyone can feed off that. It's so wonderful.
It's like I'll go out and smash myself and come in devastated and be, that was awesome.
I know. Maybe you're just full of it. Maybe you just sit there and pouting in the corner, but you only type good stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, but no.
I know, because when I listen to your shows, I've always heard that in your voice. You can hear it in your voice. You can't fake that.
Yeah, I just love it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, even when I have a quote unquote bad workout, I still enjoyed myself.
Learn from it and you continue.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I really appreciated talking to you. And I
was
let
great
you
talking
go
to you too.
It's like 1 a.m. for you or something now.
I'm fine. It's 1:05.
You got to get up in 3 hours and go do a 20-hour bike ride or something.
No, just swimming.
Yeah.
Swimming. So what's on the horizon for you?
Well, I'm going to work. I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do every winter, work on core and stuff. And I'm going to keep running. My running's pretty darn good nowadays.
Nice.
Not really leaning towards injury in any way, and I seem to be able to run some faster paces. So I think I'll play around with a bit of speed this winter until the snow slows me down.
Yep.
And I don't really have any plans. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. My silly plan is to pretend I was going to do an Ironman and try training for one just to see whether I would actually want to train for one.
See what it felt like,
yeah. And then, you know, and then if I got the fitness going, I went, hey, I'm gonna do just my own, I'll just do like my own totally self-supported, I make my own route, I call the shots, and do my own Ironman.
Yeah,
just to do it.
That would be cool.
So I don't want all the foo-fura and the hoopla and the pressure and the money and all that crap. So sometimes I think about that. I'm pretty sure I won't stick with it. So I don't know. I probably shouldn't even say I was thinking about doing it, because I probably wouldn't stick with it anyways. I just don't think I'm ready in that point in my life where I have the time, or I'm willing to give that time to commit to 12, 13, 15 hours of training every week.
Well, you know, like I always tell people, if it's not fun, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, yep.
But you know, the half iron distance is a fun distance for me. Fun.
It's, I love
like
that
a
distance.
Big challenge. It's a real big challenge.
Yeah.
And I like running half marathons. Like I could be really happy just running half marathons and even maybe one full marathon a year. I'm not a great runner, but I really like running.
I totally agree with you. I think that you know, the half marathon distance and the half Ironman distance are like, it's still a big deal. You know, it's still a big race, but the commitment to training is just so much less.
Yeah.
It ends up being, I think, a really good experience.
Do you want to hear my swim training plan?
Yeah.
I hate swimming. So I'm thinking, I want to come up with a plan where I only swim once a week.
Okay.
So I do all my swim training on one day a week. So I only have to drive to the pool once. I only have to get in the water once, you know.
Makes sense.
And then I just swim. So I'm going to swim once a week, and I'm going to swim like 3,500 to 4,000 meters once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
That's it?
You know, that's it. Once a week.
That should be good.
Because that's all I got to do, right? I just got to swim 4,000 meters or 3,800 meters for
Ironman, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have to be fast. I just have to do it. I can do it. I know I already can do that distance within the cutoff time, so that's all I'd care about.
Sure.
Get that out of the way. That's my plan. I should change my name to Kelowna Girl Slacks Podcast.
Especially when I hear, like, you prepping for one of your races, and you're like, you know, I should probably swim since I haven't swam in 6 months.
That's right. That's what I did for the Apple. I swam, I think, 3 times before the race, just to make sure my wetsuit still fit, really.
It's just like riding a bike. It's just like hopping back on a bike. You never forget.
I know I can swim. And the thing is, you have to put in tons of hours to increase a small amount of speed.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for me unless I get some swim. If I get some swim training, if I had somebody who sat, you know, actually coached me, that's where I need coaching. So unless I get a swim coach, it isn't going to happen.
So. I heard this guy doing this podcast once. I think I don't know if he was pro. I think he was just like a top age grouper. He knew he had to swim like 50 minutes to either qualify for Kona or get on the podium or something like that. And he was swimming like an hour at that point, you know, an Ironman swim. Mm-hmm. And he said he logged all of the yards he swam. He swam over 1 million yards to take mm-hmm. that 10 minutes off.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that just boggles the mind.
Yeah. It's like when I had Coach Jeff coaching me, you know, he did a great job. And I doubled or tripled my usual swimming. I did all these workouts. I followed everything I was supposed to do. And I had, I think, the same, I knocked a couple of minutes off, maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is not worth it.
You can make
I'm
up
not
2 minutes.
Anything. For 2 minutes, I can run 2 minutes faster.
Oh, man.
I can bike 2 minutes faster.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I've gone to the minimalist swimming. You know, most people are minimalist running. Well, I'm a minimalist swimmer.
I mean, I will say this for swimming and practicing swimming is that, even though I'm not, like you said, it doesn't seem like good training economy to sink that kind of time into getting that kind of benefit out. Mm-hmm. But I think what it does is it just makes you a stronger swimmer.
Oh, for sure.
So that
for
when you get out of the water, you know, you're like, you're not mm-hmm. phased, you know?
That's right. But see, honestly, I'm never really tired when I get out of the water because I wasn't swimming very hard. Seriously, my heart rate doesn't go up. I mean, I don't push hard.
Yeah.
I just go in and I swim steady. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Because it's all about not drowning.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, you could get out there and you could work really hard and you could make a difference in your race by being a good swimmer.
Oh, I gotta get my butt in the pool. Yeah.
So I think for most people, you should do the swim training. Just, you know, don't do what I do. That's all.
You know what's helped me a lot over this last training cycle is this is the first time I've ever done kick drills. Mm. You know, just because I hated doing, and I still hate them. Mm-hmm. I hate them with a passion. But the one thing I noticed is developing that good kick.
Yep.
It obviously makes you go a little bit faster, but it makes me swim straighter. Is the one thing I've noticed. Is it? I can actually, with a good kick, like swim in a straight line outside.
Okay.
Which is interesting, I thought.
Well, I remember the first three lessons I took, the guy said I had a really good kick.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not even going to tell you anything to do about your kick because your kick is perfect, so don't even think about it. So
nice.
I was kind of happy about that.
That's good.
My pull is what's seriously lacking.
Yeah.
And it's upper body strength, too. Mm-hmm. See, last year my plan was to improve my swimming is I wasn't going to swim anymore, but I was going to lift weights.
Right.
up top, because I think that would help. You know, and I'm always looking for ways to get swim training that doesn't involve getting wet.
Yes.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, Jake, I'm going to let you go.
Sounds good.
Really, really enjoyed talking to you, and I know this show's going to get a bajillion hits because it's got the great Jake main track guy on it. So I'm super excited about that.
What a coup.
I got the Jake exclusive.
Dragged me out of podcast retirement.
Yes. See, everyone wants to hear your voice. They're going to be writing. I'm going to get 1,000 emails and I'll have to forward them all to you. So you guys can make sure you forward me your and I will send them off to Jake.
That sounds good.
Let's get him back. I'm looking at your picture on Skype and thinking you might need to change that.
Yeah, I was actually, when you sent me a message, I was trying to. I couldn't do it fast enough.
It's no worries. I'd already seen it and laughed. All right, we'll let the listeners imagine what that could possibly be.
Right.
All right, well, take care.
It's nothing lurid.
Oh, no, nothing lurid at all. No.
All right, Barb.
All right, you take care.
You too.
All right. Wasn't it just awesome to hear his voice again? Yes. I wish he would do his podcast again because it's so cool to hear him and watch him training for those races. I have high hopes for his Ironman and I think it's going to be pretty exciting. All right. If you want to get a hold of me, it's kelownagirl@gmail.com. KelownaGurl. And hey, if you are a triathlete, you now know that Kelowna has on the map. If you've been paying attention to the Ironman Canada discussions about where they're going to put the race. And as you know by now, they decided that it was going to be Ironman Canada in Whistler. So I'm pretty glad that they didn't pick
Kelowna, just because I didn't want it to be on the same day. I wouldn't mind if they did a Kelowna race, if they would do it in July or something. But since they didn't, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next year. I'm pretty excited about Challenge Penticton. I know, always as usual, know lots of people that are racing, so I think it'll be a good race, and I think we'll have a lot of fun. Go down and watch, and I think it's for the best. And at least to put Kelowna on the map, right? What else do I need to tell you? Hey, thanks for all the likes on the Kelowna Girl Tries Facebook group. Well, not likes, but thanks for joining. It's nice to have lots of people on there and lots of discussion. And, iTunes. Appreciate the people that have clicked on and given me a rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. I'm doing amazingly, amazingly well in Canada as far as that's concerned. A little bit more competition on the American one, but I'm still up there, so it's pretty good. But I noticed in the last month or so, I don't even have to click on amateur. I can just stick on the regular sports and recreation, and I'm still showing up on the What's Hot page, which makes me super excited because that's up against all those ESPN guys too. So yippee-i-yo. All right. So take care, and hopefully we'll be back in another week or so with the interview with Dustin. And then I think I might try and see if I can rope Becca into coming on and having a little chat with me. So Rebecca and I right now are trying to motivate each other. We both have a few pounds to lose. I think we're both trying to lose 8. And we've both been struggling a little bit with our motivation to get out there and get training. So we have been daily motivating each other on Twitter and Facebook, egging each other on to get those workouts done and making that commitment to each other. And we found that's working for us. So thanks to Becca for that. And well, I will see you out there and have a great day. Hope your beginning of winter training and late fall training is going well and won't be long before the snow hits and up here in Canada. So take care. Bye-bye. The sun must set to rise. Sing it a written song, hurry, pick for the need.
just can't live.